A few hours after this, he's going to be apprehended in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to be tried all night. He's going to be crucified at 9 o'clock on Friday morning. And he spends this last few hours with his disciples. So there's a lot going on here in these chapters. He is teaching them. He has taught them for 3 years. But he's leaving them much more because he is not going to be with them the way that they have known. He's not going to walk with them physically. Rather, he is going to send his Holy Spirit to indwell them, to empower them. Let's read then the first 17 verses of chapter 13. Unforgettable night for the disciples. They were going to learn many things that they would take into the rest of their lives. We called the last study the foe at the feast from verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Judas was the hypocrite in the group. He was not the real thing. And whenever you have a company that meet in Jesus' name, here was Jesus in the midst of this group. The devil is never going to be very far away to spoil and to wreck and to ruin. In fact, he was in this group. Jesus was in the heart of 11 disciples. Satan was in the heart of the other one. And yet, by all outward appearance, you couldn't have told the difference between the 12. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks upon the heart. Even Samuel was taken in when David's older brother stood before him. Oh, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Look at his physique. This man would make a great king. And that's when the Lord mildly rebuked Samuel and said, don't look on outward appearance. Man, God sees not as man sees. Man looks on outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. And so Jesus knew the hearts of the 12. He could see the odd one out. The heart of Judas Iscariot. And so we called the last study the foe at the feast. We could call this morning's the freshening of the feet. Because these verses are taken up with the Lord Jesus doing something unusual. The Lord Jesus changed the mentality of the disciples. Because being in a dusty climate, feet could have been washed several times a day, going from one place to another, one house to another. The most menial of tasks was the washing of the visitors' feet. That was done by a servant of the lowliest station. A very menial task. Certainly, the people would not have thought of arising themselves and preparing and washing the feet of the visitor. The man or woman of the house certainly would not have done that. Senior servants certainly would not have done that. It was left for the most menial servant, the lowest of the servants. Verse 2 says, and supper being ended, so they must have been there for maybe quite a while before Jesus got up and prepared and washed the feet of the disciples. None of the other disciples made a move to wash the other disciples' feet. But yet Jesus got up and did it. Verses 4 and 5 goes into nice detail about it. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, those long robes maybe, didn't want them to get in the way when he would have knelt and to wash the disciples' feet. He removed those, took a towel and girded himself to dry, the towel to dry the disciples' feet. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And one has said that everything is so minutely recorded. And no wonder, for everything connected with him is precious. And beside enabling us to realize the scene the better, does it not give us a clear insight into the very heart of Jesus? Because the first of three things that we want to notice in these verses is this: Jesus taught a lesson. And secondly, we'll learn Peter needed to learn, and then Jesus left a legacy. Jesus taught a lesson. Verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Peter, what I do you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Thou shalt know hereafter. In verses 10 to 14, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus taught a lesson. And we can do the most menial tasks for each other, that God will bless when we do it in his name, and if we remember scriptures like this. Jesus did this so I could do it. But the lesson that Jesus taught was this. This just wasn't a practical thing that would have been done anyhow. Maybe the disciples were sitting about when they first arrived, supper being ended, they had feasted, and they maybe wondered, where's the servant who's going to wash our feet? Is nobody coming to wash our feet? Because this was just a done thing. They may have had their feet already washed a few times that day, but they'd arrived in a new place now and they're wondering, who's going to wash our feet? Where's the servant to do this? But nobody was there to wash their feet but their master stooped to wash their feet. But it's more than just feet washing. The Lord Jesus is applying a spiritual lesson to this, as we can do with things that are seen. Take the snow, for example, and the weather. What biblical lessons can be drawn from that? From the snow, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven doesn't return there but waters the earth, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. And so as the snow falls, it reminds us of God's word. The snow is going to have an effect upon the land. It's going to soak into the ground. And in months to come, we will know the benefit of the rain and the snow, because it causes the earth to give its produce that we will enjoy. That's the effect of God's word. We can sow the seed of God's word, but it mightn't have any benefit in a person's life until maybe weeks, months, years later. And the Lord Jesus is teaching a spiritual lesson here. Verses 10 and 11, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed, or he that is bathed. I don't think they would have had showers in those days, so it was bath. Needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you're clean, but not all of you. Judas Iscariot was as physically clean as the rest of them, but he wasn't spiritually clean. Peter was not the first one to have his feet washed. It says in verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter. And I would think that the Lord has maybe washed 2 or 3, 4 of the disciples' feet, and then he comes to Peter. And there's the washing of the body, and there is the washing of the feet. And as I said, the feet was maybe washed several times a day. It says in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And we know that when they would have arrived in that home, their feet would have been washed. But what is said here, we have here one of our Lord's most profound and instructive utterances. Because there's a difference between the bath and the basin. It says here that the Lord took a basin, and then he said that he who is bathed, there's a difference between a bath and a basin. The bath speaks of the cleansing received at the time of one's salvation. Cleansing from the penalty of sin through the blood of Christ takes place only once. The basin speaks of cleansing from the pollution of sin and must take place continually through the word of God. So the Lord Jesus is teaching this because Peter says, are you washing my feet? And Peter says to him in verse 8, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I do not wash your feet, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. You have no fellowship with me. Now, no doubt we have all got up this morning, we have prepared to come to church, maybe we've had a shower. 10 minutes after the shower, you get dressed, you get breakfast and so on, whatever your routine is. But if your hands get dirty doing something, you're not going to have another shower. You're just going to wash your hands. If there's a dirty mark appears on your face, you're not going to have a shower. You'll just take it off with a piece of soap and water. And Jesus is teaching here that when we come to him, we are completely and wholly cleansed. We receive the forgiveness of our sins. But in our walk, the Bible here is talking about feet, the washing of the feet, and feet implies walk, and the New Testament pictures our walk with God, our lifestyle, how we live for Him. And there needs to be that daily cleansing. We don't need to be saved again. We don't need to repent again. Of course, there is everyday repentance, but not that initial repentance, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But there needs to be that daily cleansing. We live the Christian life in a very polluted world. We are to have clean hands and a pure heart. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? We'll sing in Psalm 24 at the end. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his most holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. We have a very subtle enemy. There are the fiery darts of the wicked one, and he seeks to trip us up at every opportunity. And so that is why every day we are to read our Bibles. The Bible is like the basin where we daily wash our feet. And the Bible does use the imagery of water, as well as using the imagery of milk, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. It also uses the imagery of water. 1 John 1 and verse 9 talks about that continuous cleansing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's a daily thing through life. Psalm 119 and verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. If you're going to cleanse something, if you're going to wash dishes and so on, you're going to wash your dishes in milk or juice. No, it'll be hot water. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Ephesians 5 and 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. With the washing of water by the word. And so every day when you have your own personal devotions, and I trust that you do have, that you read through your Bible each year, and when you hear the word in a service like this, there is that cleansing. It is to have that cleansing effect in our lives. And love those verses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. Here's what Moses says. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain. Again, water. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. Do you see how the teaching of the word has the effect as rain has? How refreshing it is. How refreshing it is. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass. Refreshing. And maybe the disciples and other people, as it was a common done thing, how they had their feet washed. Maybe they'd walked a long journey, maybe their feet were tired, maybe sore, and just to have a basin of water and to have their feet washed and cleansed from the dust and the grime, it would have been lovely and refreshing for them. And so there is this effect of God's word. At conversion, we are totally cleansed. But from that moment on until we reach heaven, there is that daily cleansing. We have to cleanse our feet. We have to guard our walk. We want to be clean and pure in God's sight in order to be of any use for Him and in order for Him to use us. Jesus taught a lesson. But in verses 6 to 9, Peter needed to learn. We don't know how many disciples the Lord Jesus had washed their feet before coming to Peter. But he wasn't the first, because verse 5 says he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. Now the other disciples before him, they just sat and said nothing. They remained quiet. They were maybe astounded that the Lord Jesus was washing their feet when each one of them thought, you know, really, I should be washing your feet, Lord. I should be washing your feet. But Peter couldn't remain quiet. Peter wasn't the quiet type. We know from the accounts in the Gospels, Peter was overconfident. He was presumptuous. He was impulsive. Peter just had to say something. And verses 6 to 9, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. So Peter was going to stop the Lord from washing his feet. But the Lord Jesus was teaching a spiritual lesson, and he said to him, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you've no part with me. You've no fellowship with me, because that's what the word part means. You've no fellowship with me if I do not wash your feet. And once the Lord said that to him, he said, Lord, well, if that's the case, don't just wash my feet, but wash my hands and my head. And Jesus says, I don't have to wash your hands and your head. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. There's one who is unclean. And of course we know that was Judas Iscariot. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. So this was just not a physical action, but it was a spiritual lesson. Peter needed to learn. And of course we all need to learn. And Peter, a few hours later, would deny the Lord Jesus three times. He would deny him. He said he wouldn't. Lord, I will go with you the whole way. I will die for you. I will die with you. No, Peter, you'll not. Before the rooster crows three times, you will deny that you know me. And of course, the circumstances were that that's what he did. He needed to learn. Peter didn't know his own heart, but Jesus knew his heart. And Jesus knew what he needed. He knew the words he needed to hear. He knew the lessons that he needed taught. Jesus taught a lesson. Peter needed to learn. Jesus left a legacy. Verses 14 to 17. So Jesus washed all their feet, including Judas Iscariot. He would have left that room with clean feet, Judas Iscariot. We'll see that next month. But not a clean heart. And Jesus had taken his garments, so the garments that he had put off, he put them on again. He sat down again. And he just said, Now do you know what I have done to you? Do you know the significance of this? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And I'm sure after this, when the disciples, of course, they would have all gone their separate ways after the ascension, because they were all allocated to go to different places. I'm sure if they were in a home and if nobody moved to wash feet, they got up and they did it. They took on the role of a servant. And of course, we see the servanthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 5. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus had the mind of a servant, of a lowly servant, of one who was not afraid or ashamed to do the most menial of tasks. So these are the lessons that we can learn from the Lord Jesus. Lessons in purity, verses 10 and 11. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you're clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. Lesson in purity. A lesson in necessity. Verse 8, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. It is necessary that we are washed to have a relationship with Christ. A lesson in purity, a lesson in necessity. In verse 15, a lesson in duty. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And verse 14, a lesson in humility. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. A practical act, but with a spiritual lesson. Like a parable, where the Lord Jesus told many parables. He used things that people could see. He used salt and light and sheep and seed. Just everything that people could see, and common things that people knew and used daily. Yet he drew spiritual lessons from them. The freshening of the feet. The cleansing of the feet, the cleansing of the heart, the inward cleansing, outward cleansing. But speaking of an inward cleansing that's totally done once at conversion. And then we look after ourselves after that. Daily cleansing through the Word, the reading of the Word, the hearing of the Word. Prayer, devotions, just keeping that contact with God. But the Lord lives and dwells and blesses hearts that have a heart for Him, that are not overtaken by sin, that are not governed by sin, but a heart where sin has no longer any dominion over them. And so may the Lord bless His Word to your hearts. And next month, the God willing, Easter Day it will be, we'll look at Judas's last night. He went out, verse 30. He then, having received the sop, or the piece of bread, went out immediately. And it was night. But it was more than a natural darkness that he went out into. So may the Lord bless His Word then to our hearts this morning. And let's sing that Psalm 24, verses 1 to 5, and then Colin will come and conduct the table, or announce the psalm. Psalm 24 and verses 1 to 5. The earth belongs unto the Lord, and all that it contains, the world that is inhabited, and all that there remains. And verses 3 and 4. Who is the man that shall ascend into the hill of God? Or who within his holy place shall have a firm abode? Whose hands are clean, whose heart is pure, and unto vanity, who hath not lifted up his soul nor sworn deceitfully. And of course, the disciples, except Judas Iscariot, had such hands and had such a heart, but not Judas. Psalm 24, verses 1 to 5, to the tune St. Magnus.